Welcome to the first ever edition of the Temple Made Bird Gang podcast. I am your host, Andrew McDevitt. Check me out on Twitter, at McDev101. I will be joined shortly by my co-host and very good friend from Temple University. He'll be calling in from Springfield, Illinois, where he works for Channel 1450. Check him out on Twitter, Chase_Senior. So what we're going to talk about basically every week is we're going to recap the Eagles games. And if you haven't been paying attention, the Eagles are 0-2. High expectations coming into the season, and it hasn't worked out at all. And what the reason for that? Chase and I are going to break it down. So here right now joining us is Chase Senior. Chase, can you hear me?
McDev, what's going on, man?
Chase, welcome to the program, man. First time ever, Temple Made Bird Gang podcast. Starting on a bad note.
To be a part of this.
We're not on a good note, my man. What are you thinking? You know, we're started out 0-2 here in the first 2 weeks. High expectations coming into the season. What do you see?
So I'm not going to be quick to push the panic button just yet because I thought expectations were a little bit too high heading into the 2015 season, but there's a lot of things that are going wrong right now, and I didn't expect it too bad. I looked at this roster, and I saw all the moves that Chip Kelly had made going into the season, and I thought it was a more talented roster than the Eagles had last year. But we've seen in the past in the NFL that when you bring a lot of players into your organization from other organizations, it takes a while for whatever reason for that team to gel. And right now this team is just not gelling. And Chip Kelly is the villain. There's no other way to look at this. He wanted complete control. He lobbied to oversee this roster. And he wanted to be the guy that was calling all the shots. And he got that power from owner Jeffrey Lurie. And it's not working out right now. And it doesn't get any easier heading into this week's game against the Jets, a game that right now I don't think the Eagles are going to win. So it's not good right now in Philly.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You look at the Jets, what they did to Andrew Luck on Monday night, one of the premier quarterbacks in the league, and you look at the guy that Chip Kelly brought in to be the centerpiece of this organization, Sam Bradford, and he has struggled mightily in the first 2 weeks of the season. He's 31st in the league out of 34 qualified quarterbacks in QB rating with a 72.3 in the first half against the Cowboys. They had one first down off of a penalty. This is not the high-powered Chip Kelly offense that we've been accustomed to seeing. This is the first time in the 3 years that Chip has been here he's really been on the hot seat.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm not sure what's going through Chip Kelly's mind right now. I don't know if he is a guy who's going to want to go back to college after this year because he likes to be tested and he likes to coach at the highest level. But this is the biggest test, really, that he's faced in his coaching career. If you go back to 2013, those back-to-back weeks where the Eagles kind of got steamrolled by the Giants and Cowboys, the Eagles were facing a lot of adversity there. They scored 3 points in the combined two games, and then they went on to make the playoffs that year. They won the NFC East, and in every game after those two games against the Giants and Cowboys, the Eagles went on to average 24 points per game. So he was able to rally the troops, but one, is he going to be able to do that this go around, especially given that he's very confident and sometimes cocky and sometimes arrogant in his ways? Can he get the team to buy in? And two, Sam Bradford, the answer at quarterback. Now, going into that Atlanta game, he hadn't played in a regular season NFL game in almost 700 days. So, again, I expected him to be rusty. But, look, you're paying the guy this much money right now. You made the big trade, trading away Nick Foles for him. He's got to show up sooner or later. And I'll tell you what, Andrew, he looks like a deer in the headlights sometimes when the pocket starts collapsing and when he's going through some tough times. So it all starts and ends with Sam Bradford. If he does not play well, then this is going to be a long season because we know what we're going to get from Mark Sanchez.
I agree completely. Since Nick Foles has gave up the starting position of the Eagles quarterback, I don't think we've seen a guy throw the ball more than 20 yards downfield. Bradford surely hasn't done that in the first couple weeks, and we know that Sanchez really doesn't have the capability of stretching the field. The other thing about the inability to stretch the field is in back-to-back years, Chip Kelly got rid of Pro Bowl receivers. DeSean Jackson left this team after he was cut for whatever allegations were held against him, and then they let Jeremy Maclin go after they signed Byron Maxwell and couldn't afford him. And since then, they haven't been able to stretch the field. Maybe Nelson Aguilar can turn into that come later in the season, but right now he has certainly not provided that. And that's why there's no space in this offense. We used to watch Shady McCoy run wild, and there's no chance for DeMarco Murray to do that because there's no space. The safeties line up no deeper than 15 yards away from the line of scrimmage, and the linebackers are pressing the gaps, and the Eagles don't have the offensive line to deal with it, and the list goes on and on of the struggles right now for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I think the Eagles' struggles are a product of a lot of things, and you can't help but point out the Pro Bowl caliber players that Chip Kelly shipped away. But the offensive line has been terrible. I don't know if the Eagles have enough talent at the guard positions to make it through a 16-game regular season and make a playoff push. But at the same time, Jason Kelce is playing some of the worst football of his career. Jason Peters, right now it looks like his Pro Bowl and All-Pro days are a little bit by him. Lane Johnson, who the Eagles picked number 3 a couple of years ago, he is really the only bright spot on this offensive line, and your quarterback play isn't going to be good if he's getting pressure. Your running game isn't going to operate if there are no holes opened up by that offensive line. And it doesn't help when your quarterback can't throw the deep ball. I know defenses are playing the Eagles and taking away that deep ball, but that's because the Eagles can't run the football. And if holes aren't being opened up for DeMarco Murray, Ryan Matthews, and Darren Sproles, that three-headed monster that was looked at as a vaunted group isn't going to get going. And, yeah, you mentioned it. DeSean Jackson being on the Redskins doesn't help this team right now in any capacity because they don't really have that one wide receiver who's going to stretch the field. Could Nelson Aguilar be that guy? Yeah, he might. I mean, he's got the speed, and I think he's got the talent, but are you going to count on a rookie to be that productive? I think we were a little bit spoiled with how Jordan Matthews played for the Eagles last year. And lastly, the drop passes have just really cost this team. There was 5 or 6 drop passes in that Cowboys game that if Riley Cooper, Jordan Matthews, Nelson Aguilar, Josh Huff, if they come down with the
Miles
drop passes,
Austin.
We have Miles Austin, we might be looking at a totally different game. Heck, we might be looking at an Eagles team that escapes with a win against the Cowboys and possibly a win against the Atlanta Falcons if these receivers are able to catch the ball. But, again, there's just so many problems. You can't just put your finger on one thing.
You mentioned a little bit about the struggles in the running game. I completely attribute that to the guards. You let Evan Mathis go early on in mini camps. You know, he wanted $5 million. It may have been a reach, but you knew the caliber of guys you had behind him. And these are not NFL caliber guards. And they've proved it the first 2 weeks of the season. And for me, the proof is in the numbers. DeMarco Murray, 21 attempts, 11 yards, 5.5 yards per carry. This is a guy that led the league in rushing last year. He led the league in attempts. He led the league in yards. I think that at some point, Chip Kelly needs to stop being so stubborn and line up and do what DeMarco Murray does best, especially when you have these. Chip Kelly has never lined up in an I formation in the 3 years that he's been the Philadelphia Eagles coach. That's what DeMarco Murray excelled in. And you heard what Josh Huff said about maybe the Cowboys players were calling out the running plays that the Eagles had called. If that's the case, this is on the offensive genius that we all said that we had. And Chip Kelly has been basically predictable in the running game thus far this season.
Chip Kelly is looked at by this fan base, or he was heading into the season, as that offensive czar, that mastermind that can scheme his way around all of the problems. But that's what he hasn't been able to do. And if you look at the past, when the Eagles have gone up against physical defenses, they've struggled. Last year against the 49ers, after the game said that they knew what plays the Eagles were going to run. The Seahawks said the same exact thing. Now, this isn't a tricky offense because Chip has a certain number of plays. It's not a huge playbook, but the thing that helps the Eagles excel is that they line up in different formations and they give the defenses different looks. Well, that's not working right now. And the coaching staff is really preaching right now, oh, it's all about execution. Our offensive line isn't executing. Well, we're going to find out real quick whether it's execution or if it's talent, especially this week, because that Jets defensive front is no joke. Shelton Richardson, Muhammad Wilkerson is a Temple-made guy. They're some of the best defensive linemen at their respective positions, and Alan Parbre and Matt Tobin, Andrew Gardner, whoever they want to throw in, they're going to be tested right from the get-go.
You brought me to my next point. And Chip Kelly always talks about how he's not a time-of-possession guy, and he wants to go fast. Well, if you're going three-and-out to 90-second three-and-out, that's much worse than a two-minute three-and-out, no matter what he says. And in the Cowboys game, the time of possession was 40-20. And that brings me to Byron Maxwell at the end of the game, and he said he's tired. Well, that's partly because of Chip Kelly and trying to go fast and continuing to get three and outs. Byron Maxwell in the first 2 weeks, the $64 million man, he's been targeted 19 times, 15 completions, 240 yards, two TDs, and a perfect QB rating against him. You know, Chip Kelly wanted complete control over this team, and he got Byron Maxwell and paid him heftily for it, over $13 million a year, and that's probably what you would have paid Jeremy Maclin. And Maclin's not here, and now you have Maxwell, and he has gotten, no doubt about it, torched. I was a Byron Maxwell apologist after week one with what Julio Jones did to him, saying that this was going to happen to 15 other corners. And I was partially right because Julio Jones did it to the Giants. But at the same time, Byron Maxwell at the end of that game got worked by Terrence Williams, and there is no excuse for that. This is a guy that's supposed to be a premier corner in this league, and he's fallen flat on his face thus far this season.
I don't know if Maxwell is a premier corner. I just think that the market value in free agency last year caused the Eagles to overpay for a corner like that. He's not a $63 million corner. There's no way. We've seen guys get those contracts, and they've been able to flourish. Unfortunately for the Eagles, they haven't flourished with the Eagles because Nnamdi Asamoah, DRC, Kerry Williams, these are guys who have been paid like top-tier corners, and they haven't performed. And thus far, Byron Maxwell has not been able to perform like the premier corner that he is getting paid like. But, hey, I don't blame him for taking a contract because if the Eagles were to offer me a fat deal, I would take it too, especially after two consecutive Super Bowl appearances and one Super Bowl ring. I do think that he's better than what he has showed, but this isn't a guy who has elite speed. This isn't a guy who's going to be able to cover number one wide receivers. Heck, we saw what Julio Jones was able to do against Byron Maxwell. So I think I'd be a little bit concerned, but I do think that Byron Maxwell is going to improve and show a little bit of what the Eagles saw in him to give him that fat contract. I think the better move would have been to carry Williams and also bring in Byron Maxwell there.
I agree.
You have two, maybe number two cornerbacks who you can get away with, two guys that are somewhat physical. And I think that would have better suited the Eagles on the defensive side of the football. But another thing that kind of mystifies me is Byron Maxwell played all this press coverage with Seattle. We saw what he did against Jordan Matthews last year in Lincoln Financial Field. I haven't really seen any of that. And the Eagles brought in Corey Unlund, their defensive backs coach, and all of the players were raving about how the technique was bad last year and that Unlund was going to change that. Well, I haven't seen much change because they're still giving up all these splash plays to the passing game.
And you mentioned Unlund. I don't think it's Unlund. I think it goes back to Billy Davis. He's not putting these guys in a position to succeed.
Why are they playing the single high safety all the time? I don't understand that.
It's unbelievable. Byron Maxwell always had help over the top when he was in Seattle, and he's almost left on an island one-on-one all the time. With Julio Jones, you need to give him help over the top with one of the premier receivers in the league.
And when you have a safety over the top, obviously it's going to cover up for some of the mistakes that you make as a cornerback, but it also gives you that mental confidence knowing that, hey, if I do get beat and if I don't have a good technique on this play, or if I miss him when I try to jam him at the line of scrimmage, I have that confidence that there's going to be a safety over the top that's going to be able to help me out. And I think the safety play has actually been pretty good for the Eagles so far. I love what Malcolm Jenkins is doing right now. I think he's playing some of the best football of his career. I think the cornerback change for Walter Thurman going to safety has paid off. I think he's got great instincts. So I think the safety play is there, and I can't believe I'm saying that given how porous the secondary has been and how bad that safety play has been for the Eagles. But I don't understand why Billy Davis just doesn't put safeties over the top to help his cornerbacks. It just really confuses me.
The safeties are definitely playing at a high level. As you said, Malcolm Jenkins right now looks like a Pro Bowl caliber safety. And Walter Thurman is really making big plays. He made the huge strip in the Cowboys game against Escobar. But I want to stay in the secondary, and this goes back to Chip. They drafted Eric Rowe in the second round, and this dude can't find the field at all. They have Chris Maragos playing safety in nickel situations.
It's terrible.
He's a nice special teams guy. I love his heart. I love his passion. But he can't be on the field in nickel situations. He's not a cover guy in any way, shape, or form. And this, it goes back to Chip. He wanted complete control. He got complete control. And Eric Rowe hasn't seen the field at all, at all.
Last 2 years, you're looking at two defensive players that were drafted in the first two rounds, and Marcus Smith and Eric Rowe, who haven't been able to see the field at all. And Eric Rowe played a lot more safety at Utah than he did at corner. And when he was drafted, I loved the pick because I thought he was going to be bred as a safety, not as a corner. And I think that's where he's better suited to play. But now you have a young guy who's a rookie, and you're messing with him mentally if you're flip-flopping positions and overloading his mental makeup, trying to have him learn all these different techniques. And that's the same thing that happened with Marcus Smith. Was he an outside linebacker? Was he an inside linebacker? Was he misdrafted? Should he have been a down lineman as a 4-3 end? And that shattered his confidence. Hopefully the same thing doesn't happen to Eric Rowe, because I think that he's got the talent to be a really good player, but I think he's more talented at safety than cornerback. I really don't understand the defensive philosophy that they have exercised with Malcolm Smith and or Marcus Smith and Eric Rowe.
I completely agree. And I want to keep going back in the draft a little bit farther. You look at some of the other holes that the Eagles have had, you know, in the past couple seasons, and it's missed draft picks. Jaquan Jarrett was a safety, and they let him go, and they've had struggles at the safety position. Danny Watkins was a guard that you couldn't miss. What a guy with great size. And look at our guards. They're in shambles. The consistent misses in the early rounds of the draft are really what's hindering the Eagles right now. And some of that's Chip, some of that's Andy, some of that's Howie, but that is what has put the Eagles in this position.
I know hindsight is 2020, but you know what's on Chip is, why the hell hasn't he drafted an offensive lineman since getting Lane Johnson at number 3 his first year as the head coach? That's inexcusable to me. Offensive linemen, besides the quarterback, I think are the most important part of the team, and we're seeing the importance of solid offensive line play right now. The Dallas Cowboys are going to be without Tony Romo for 7 games, 8 weeks total, and I think they're going to be just fine because they have an offensive line that's going to open up gaping holes for their running backs, and DeMarco Murray is missing that offensive line right now, whereas with the Eagles, they haven't drafted or tried to bring up any offensive linemen. Instead, they've gone with Andrew Gardner and Alan Barbre, and that's really cost them. Those are journeyman offensive linemen for a reason. They are not highly touted offensive linemen, and I don't think that they have the talent to be starting guards in the NFL, and that goes back to Chip not drafting offensive linemen the past 2 years.
And exactly, and he knew by the draft that Evan Mathis and Todd Hermans weren't going to be here, and just didn't address the issue, point blank, end of the period. The other thing,
the scheme isn't going to take over everything, and Chip, I think, is finding it the hard way right now.
rise to the top. Yeah, they need, at some point, you need to get talent. And culture and scheme can't always trump talent. And he's finding that
the
up hard
college.
Way, like you said.
The same college, that's it.
Exactly. And like you said, if things continue the way that they're continuing, who knows? Maybe Chip will beeline it back to college. The thing, my one bright spot from this weekend was a rookie. I thought Jordan Hicks played exceptionally well. He was on the field a lot with the injuries to Kiko Alonso and Michael Kendricks, and it's really a shame to see D'Amico Ryans playing the way he is. He's a shell of himself out there on the field coming off his second Achilles injury. But Jordan Hicks played outstanding. He had a strip sack against Tony Romo that put him out for 8 weeks, like you mentioned. I was impressed with Jordan Hicks, and I'm not excited to see him on the field with the injuries to Kiko Alonso and Michael Kendricks, but I am excited to see what he can do with the opportunity that he's been presented with.
I agree with you. And when the Eagles drafted Hicks out of Texas in the third round, a lot of people were surprised, and experts and analysts didn't think that he was a third-round type of player. But from what I saw from him on Sunday, I was really impressed. I mean, he got beat on that wheel route by, I think, Randall or Dunbar. But that was really the only bad play he made, and then he rebounded from that to make the biggest play on the defensive side of the ball of the game for the Eagles when he was able to sack Tony Romo, force that fumble that Fletcher Cox recovered. So I don't think the Eagles are going to miss much of a beat for the short term if Jordan Hicks is in, because I think he's actually going to be a pretty good player. He showed some promise there on Sunday. I was really impressed because I wasn't sure how – he was going to fare, especially going up against those speedy running backs and having to match up with Jason Witten. Going back
and
to
you look
though, I mean, the D'Amico Terrell's Achilles in that Texans game, and that was, what, week 8 last year? So we're not even close
yeah.
to it being a year since he tore that Achilles. I think he looks about 70 to 80% now. I don't think he's going to be as fast as he was coming back from a second Achilles tear, but I don't think we should worry just yet about D'Amico, although he's going to be thrust into more snaps right now because Kendricks and Alonso are out.
The other thing about Jordan Hicks was you look at what the Cowboys did week 1 to another rookie inside linebacker in Unga for the Giants, and on the last drive of the game, they target him time and time again, getting beat by running backs and then ultimately getting beat by Jason Witten on the play that won the Cowboys the game. You mentioned, you know, how D'Amico Ryans is going to be thrown in here, and we've heard countless reports this week about Kiko Alonso and whether it's this and whether it's that, and it's a sprained knee with the knee that he tore his Achilles, and he went and sought out a second opinion. He went to seek out a second opinion because he didn't like the first opinion because they told him that he tore his ACL. I'm really concerned that we're going to be in the same situation with Kiko Alonso that we're now in with D'Amico Ryans, where after these two major injuries, these guys just might not come back.
Yeah, Chip Kelly said in his press conference earlier that Kiko Alonso is suffering from a knee sprain, but a sprain is still a slight tear. And if Kiko Alonso suffered a slight tear of his ACL, that's still a really serious injury given that he suffered a complete tear of the ACL a year ago. So if you look at Kiko Alonso, he's a young player. When he's healthy, he's one of the most dynamic linebackers in the league. If you're the Eagles, aren't you going to tell him to just go under the knife and not try to sacrifice his future? You did trade away LeSean McCoy, who's the franchise leading rusher,
exactly.
for Kiko Alonso. If this is, and the reports are true, that Alonso has a slight tear or sprain of the ACL, that's a pretty serious injury, and I'm not sure that's anything you want to mess with because you try to rehab that and you try to strengthen that anterior cruciate ligament, that could pop easily, and he's already kind of gone through that injury before, both at Oregon and with the Bills. I know it was two different ACLs, but still, an ACL is an ACL. It's a pretty serious injury, so I'd be very concerned.
If this is really the ACL with Kiko Alonso and he doesn't return, you have to think, they gave up Deshaun for nothing, they let Macklin go for nothing, and they traded Shady for Kiko, and that could turn out to be virtually nothing. All right, Chase, we got 5 minutes left here. I want to get to the game this weekend. They're playing the Jets. The Jets are a surprise 2-0. Temple made coach, Todd Bowles, Temple made defensive line, Muhammad Wilkerson. This team, they beat up on Andrew Luck and the Colts on Monday night. And the optimism in this town, I'm working for WIP, it's not high. It's not high at all.
I don't think the Eagles are going to win this game. I think this is a terrible matchup for the Eagles, who are trying to work a lot of kinks out on the offensive side of the football right now, trying to find any type of momentum and rhythm that they haven't been able to establish at all in the first two games. Now, in eight quarters, the Eagles have played great football for two of them. That's not good. And the defense has improved. I don't think the defense is going to have a lot of trouble against Ryan Fitzpatrick, but Brandon Marshall is a fantastic wide receiver. But this defense is legitimate, and Todd Bowles is a defensive mastermind. He has taken every type of note of what opposing defenses have done against this Philadelphia Eagles offense, and I'm sure he's jotted all of I don't think this is a good matchup for the Eagles. I don't think they're going to win this game. I think that the Eagles are going to fall to 0-3, but, hey, it wouldn't surprise me if the Eagles do come out and have a stellar performance against a really good defense, especially because the Jets are riding this high right now. We've seen crazier things happen, but, hey, I'll tell you what, I look at this matchup on paper, and if I'm the Eagles, I'm looking at that Jets defense, and I'm a little scared after what they did to Andrew Luck on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I'm absolutely concerned. The guards are going to have their absolute hands full. Leonard Williams, Muhammad Wilkerson, then you go back to the middle linebackers. Tommy Harris is fantastic. Their secondary, there's a chance that all four of those guys in the secondary make the Pro Bowl. It's really unreal. But go over to the offensive side of the ball. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's playing well right now. His job on that team is really don't turn over the football and they'll be okay. But Billy Davis, it's time to finally wake up and give Byron Maxwell some help over the top, because Brandon Marshall, he's no joke. He's going to put Byron Maxwell out there on an island too, and it'll be interesting if Billy Davis doesn't give him any support over the top. My score prediction, I'm going to go with 24-21 Jets, and the Eagles drop to 0-3. Hit me with the score prediction.
Yeah, you read my mind there. I was going 24-21, so just to be different, I'll go 24-20 Jets.
Man, that is a not good thing for Philadelphia Eagles fans. Well, Chase, man, pleasure talking to you. Thanks for everybody listening to the Temple Made Bird Gang podcast. You can check Chase out on Twitter at Chase_Senior. Works for Channel 1450 in Springfield, Illinois. Did they say 1450 or is it, what is it?
No, you got it. Channel1450.com in Springfield, Illinois.
Yeah, man, keep working hard out there. I'll definitely be in touch with you. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Follow me on Twitter, @McDevo1, and we'll see everybody next week.
See ya.